Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our message today comes from the Old Testament passage you heard, that from Jeremiah. It wasn't identity theft. That would have required that his identity be stolen. No, this was much, much worse. It was an identity surrendered, traded for one much worse, one imperfect in every way, one saturated in selfishness and greed. And it had been traded freely, handed over by his own accord. And it wasn't just him, but also she who did the same thing. There in that garden, Adam and Eve had been deceived. They'd been told by the serpent that the identity God had given them was just a glimpse of what it could be, what it should be, if only they could just get out of their Creator's shadow. And they believed him. The lure of this new identity, one that promised to be even greater than what God had given, was simply too tempting for them to ignore. And so they made the trade. They handed over one reflecting God, one that was attached to this Creator, for one reflecting Satan, one that was bound to that fallen angel. Now, this was not theft. It was completely voluntary. And from that moment on, men and women would be born with this corrupted, sinful identity, bound to it by the chains of sin, and uninterested in any sort of restoration or reclamation of what was once surrendered. Now, many years later, a prophet would speak to the people about this identity surrendered. Now, they had been chosen by God. These were God's chosen people. He had chosen them. But they would continue to cling to this sinful identity that had been handed down from generation to generation. And they would pursue God with their lips, but remain attached to Satan by their actions. And this prophet, he would speak into this identity crisis. He would point to the current siege from the Babylonians and the final one that would destroy Jerusalem. He would proclaim that this was God's judgment against his people. Jerusalem would fall. The temple would be destroyed. The city's walls, they'd be torn down. And the people, they'd be exiled to Babylon. And then what? Would their identity as God's chosen people, even though a sinful people, be taken from them? Would God abandon his people, abandon his pursuit of reclaiming for himself what had once been surrendered? See, these were the questions that Jeremiah spoke to in this passage. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This was the answer from God. It was his response to his people. A covenant had been made by God to his people. Covenant had been broken by his people. But that covenant would be fulfilled in later days. God's people would be delivered from the hands of earthly enemies. But that freedom would only be a foretaste of what would come. And it would pale in comparison to the covenant promise, the one made long ago in that garden and renewed with Abraham. God would send a Savior, not to free his people from earthly chains, but from spiritual ones. And through the Savior, God would do more than free his people. He would reclaim our identity that was once surrendered. The Savior, Jesus, would break into creation, but not with a sinful identity, but one that was perfect in every way. He would not surrender it like Adam and Eve did, but he would instead stain it by taking on the sins of everyone, making his perfect identity one that was sinful in every way. And he would subject himself, covered in this sin, to the judgment of the Father. And through his propitiation, a way would be made for the restoration of our identities. Our identity, once surrendered, would then be reclaimed by God. And it was there on that cross, our identity was reclaimed. Now today, in mercy, in his mercy, he offers us our restored identity through the power of his word and through the water of baptism. And from that moment on, we become God's adopted children, no longer bound to Satan and the chains of sin. The identity once surrendered is now abandoned and a new one restored. And he seals us in his adoption by placing upon us his own name. And that name, the Lord is our righteousness. You see, we are his, and not sin or death or the devil himself can steal or deceive what God has declared us to be. Today, as we enter into the season of Advent, we enter with the recognition that what was lost has now been restored by the blood of Christ and given to us through the power of baptism. And in the last days, the fullness of our identity will be revealed when at last we will live in the presence of God for all eternity. And so I encourage you to spend time with God this month. Reflect on what he has done for you through his Son. Your true identity, one that loves and pursues God, one that lives to worship and to glorify him, has been restored through your baptism. Cling to this reality by faith is you await the day when your identity will be fully revealed and you will no longer be tempted by Satan to surrender what Christ has reclaimed for you. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. For in Him, your true identity stands secure, not because you cling to it, but because He who has called you by name in the waters of baptism continues to claim you as His own. Your identity is hidden in Christ, in God, sealed by His promises, and preserved by His grace until the day when you shall see Him face to face. Go in peace, bearing the name that He has placed upon you, child of God, heir of heaven, marked by the cross of Christ forever. Amen.